Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. This week, we have with us Father Joseph Laramie. He's a campus minister at St. Louis University, where he also earned his undergraduate and master's degrees in communications. He studied at Kenrick Glennon Seminary prior to joining the Jesuit novitiate. He studied graduate theology at Boston College, earning Master of Divinity and Lectionate degrees. He was ordained a priest in 2011. His ministry has included working with the homeless in Minnesota and Oregon and with hospital patients in Illinois. He taught at Regis Jesuit High School in Aurora, Colorado, and Rockhurst High School in Kansas City, Missouri, and also worked as a missionary to Mayan villages in Belize. Today, we'll be talking about his book, Abide in the Heart of Christ, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Ignatius Loyola. Welcome to the show, Father Joe.
Thanks so much, Pete.
You're welcome. So I guess to get started, why don't we start with, can you give us an overview of the Ignatian spiritual exercises which you use as the basis for the layout of your book?
Sure. Such a rich spiritual program from St. Ignatius himself. So he wrote the spiritual exercises. St. Ignatius is the founder of the Jesuits. He lived in Spain in the 1500s. And basically, it's this little notebook he put together over several years based on his own prayer, reflection on scripture, conversation with different holy people he met around Europe, and then slowly put together this little retreat known as the Spiritual Exercises, and such a beautiful program, something that's very flexible so that it can be done over 30 days in silence, something Jesuits do as part of our training. Can be done over 8 days or a weekend or something like a flexible format, maybe over a couple weeks during your own daily life so that you don't have to go off to a monastery or to a mountainside, but can pray in the midst of your daily activities.
You know, one thing I thought was rather interesting, and you mentioned it in the introduction, is that the spiritual exercises themselves that Ignatius wrote isn't necessarily for the layperson. We can read it, obviously, but sometimes we can get buried in the weeds of it. So it's kind of nice that you've produced this book that, helps us get through it.
That's right. I have called, in some places, the spiritual exercises the most disappointing book you'll ever read. That's probably a strange way to promote somebody's spirituality, right? But yeah, it's more like a kind of notebook meant for directors of retreats. You know, think about a playbook that a football coach might use. Maybe as a casual fan, you like watching the games, maybe even throw the ball in your backyard. But, you know, there's a certain amount of kind of technical language that he uses. But in a sense, the genius of that method, because it makes for a flexible program, but then throughout the centuries, different spiritual directors, including Jesuits, can help guide people according to this method.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the introduction, you have a quote that I thought was rather interesting. It goes, quote, "We won't be trying to learn a lot of facts here. We'll seek to deepen our relationship with Christ," end quote. And sometimes I think we can get buried in facts and miss that personal relationship. Why is it important to cultivate that type of relationship, and how can your book help?
That's right. You know, another way I've put it is this is not so much about information as formation of your heart according to the heart of Christ. Definitely our faith has a certain intellectual content. We want to know the scriptures, maybe know church history. But really the core of our faith is that encounter with Christ the Lord, so that with a little coaching from a saint, Ignatius himself, and then, you know, a little bit of assistance from me on the side, that we can really deepen that relationship with the Lord.
So let's talk about retreats in general. Why are they good for us, either in book format, as this one is, or physically going to a location?
Sure. You know, how about this? Jesus himself went on retreat, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good enough for him. It's good enough for us. Jesus spends 40 days in the desert, praying, fasting, that special time with the Father. And we also see him pulling aside the disciples, maybe for a couple days, on the mountainside, on the seashore. You know, we can imagine just that friendly conversation of Jesus with his apostles, who are also his close friends, maybe reflecting on what's happened, some of their joys and sorrows, and really just that deepening of relationship with the Lord himself. Again, through the centuries, Christians, saints, monks have spent time, that special time in prayer, kind of coming away from their daily activities in a certain way. Jesuits ourselves, so I don't just tell people to go on retreat, I do it myself. Every summer, Jesuits are asked to make a retreat, preferably of 8 days. And working at a retreat house, just seeing how much fruit people get, you know, I think we all crave that quiet time with the Lord. And then paradoxically, we're also kind of afraid of it. We wonder, whoa, well, what's going to happen? Is that going to be scary? Or what if it's just quiet and there's this kind of emptiness? Well, I also think the Lord wants us to kind of set those fears aside and really trust in his goodness, that he's going to draw us closer to himself.
Mm-hmm. So your book, it's subtitled A 10-Day Personal Retreat with St. Ignatius Loyola. What's the best way for people to use this? This is another edition in a series that Ave Maria Press has come out with. There's been two others prior to this one by different authors. Mm-hmm. Is this meant to be a solo, a group setting? Can it be used both? How do you best see this being used?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I would just point to that flexible format that St. Ignatius himself used when he was preaching and teaching in Europe, so that one option could be you do it over 10 days. Let's say just by yourself to simplify. So maybe you read a chapter in the morning, that might take you 20 minutes or so. And then maybe in the evening, you set aside maybe 20 or 30 minutes for a little prayer, maybe some journaling. There's some reflection questions at the end of each chapter to guide you. Now that said, if you want to do it over 10 weeks, let's say each Sunday, set aside some time for prayer. That's great. You could do it with somebody in your family, maybe with a little parish group. Perhaps you're in a men's Bible study or the Knights of Columbus. You know, it's designed so that you can share some of these reflections with some family or friends, you know, in that special way that some of these graces get multiplied. You know, mm-hmm. You have an encounter with the Lord, you can describe that to me, then I get to describe my own experience in prayer. So we get to kind of pool the graces, you could say.
Definitely. In your book in particular, you've woven this theme of the heart through the entire 10-day retreat. And I think we all know the obvious physical importance of the heart, but how about the spiritual significance? What's the significance of, and why did you turn to weaving that theme in the book?
Sure. In my own Jesuit order, we have a long and rich tradition of devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Going back to the time of St. Claude de la Colombière, he was a French Jesuit in the 1600s who was a spiritual director of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. She was a French sister who had a series of powerful visions and prayers of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And St. Claude really just helped her to understand those graces and to start sharing them really with the whole church. So that for me, there's just a very close relationship of the spiritual exercises and devotion to the Sacred Heart. And it's something we see throughout the scriptures, these images of God promising to give us a new heart, a heart of flesh. Jesus himself, that he, at his resurrection, invites St. Thomas to even touch his side, to reach in and touch that place where he's wounded by the cross, that lance that pierces him. So that there is this really long and rich tradition of devotion to the Sacred Heart that I think just personalizes that relationship with Christ, mm-hmm. and also makes it more concrete, we could say, because this is truly the risen Jesus who has a body just like we have bodies.
Mm, absolutely. So this particular retreat, what drew you to doing this? Obviously, there was an idea behind it. What prompted you to put your pen to paper and come up with this retreat in general?
Sure. You know, I'd say a couple different streams coming together. So Jesuits make actually two silent retreats of 30 days each. We do one our very first year in the novitiate, when we just begin our time in the order. And then we do another one a few years after ordination, as a sense, kind of a conclusion to our Jesuit formation. So I just did that about 2 years ago in Portland, Oregon. Just a ton of grace, had a great spiritual director, you know, just reflecting on my time as a priest, God's work in my life. So that'd be one stream, is my own retreat. Another stream is my work at the retreat house. On a typical weekend retreat, the Jesuits there, we would give 10 talks on the spiritual exercises. And voila, this book is 10 chapters long. So I do feel like, you know, these are kind of tried and tested talks that I've bounced off of other people. So I'd say one stream, my own retreat, another stream, working at a retreat house, and third, actually working with young people in a high school classroom and now on a college campus. Just a real source of joy for me, getting to know them and to share the spiritual exercises with them, sometimes over pizza, sometimes on a retreat. So just feeling moved by the Spirit to try to share this grace with a wider audience.
Great. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of Abide in the Heart of Christ, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Ignatius Loyola. We'll be right back.
The history of the Catholic Church is often clouded by myth, misinformation, and missing pieces. Today, there is a renewed interest in discovering the true history of the Church, correcting the record in the wake of centuries of half-truths and noble lies. Books in the new Reclaiming Catholic History series, edited by Mike Aquilina and written by leading authors and historians, brings the Church to life, debunking the myths one era at a time. Check out the first two titles in this series, The Early Church and the Church and the Roman Empire, at AveMariaPress.com, or look for it wherever books and ebooks are sold.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. Today we're spending it with Father Joe Laramie discussing his book, Abide in the Heart of Christ, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Ignatius Loyola. And Father Joe, now we're going to get into the book itself more. So in the first chapter or exercise, which would be reminiscent of what St. Ignatius called these, you refer to how culture has this habit of pointing towards what is wrong with us, you know, be it weight or be it bad habits or whatever. What can we do to shrug that off and focus on the positive?
Sure. I think really a core action that St. Ignatius calls us to is gratitude. Something that shows up in a number of places in his writings, in particular in this prayer called the Examination of Conscience, mm-hmm. sometimes just called the Examen Prayer. Now, some of us might hear that phrase and think, oh, yeah, I do that before I go to confession. Definitely, I do use it for that. I recommend that. But also to see just really the depth of this prayer, that, in fact, it can be used to look back on my day and see how God has been active in my day, so that actually it's a Christ-centered prayer. What's he doing as opposed to just what am I doing? You know, if we look with that lens, I think very quickly we see just many blessings that God is giving us. Something as simple as breathing fresh air in the morning, family and friends who love me, the gift of faith, Many of us may have work that we enjoy or hobbies that we enjoy. Even kind of looking back a little further and seeing, yeah, how has God shaped me in this journey of my life? Maybe how God brought you together with your spouse, or for me, how God drew me into religious life. So that we can kind of, you know, elbow aside some of these negative voices in the secular culture, because basically it works like this. If I don't think very much of myself, then I'm a really good target to buy a bunch of stuff that I think is going to make me feel better or look cooler or more hip, more popular, versus the really core Christian virtue of being rooted in Christ. I'm a beloved son of the Father. I have been graced by the Spirit in the sacraments and other modes of life. So I think this spirit of gratitude is also something we can cultivate. It's not just a grace I wait for, but in a sense I cooperate to deepen that.
Yeah. So another thing you write about is this need to escape and find peace and rest. And this goes back to the whole idea of why do we go in retreats. But why is that so important, and what tips do you have for shutting off the outside world and doing this? We're so connected these days that that can certainly be a challenge.
Sure. Okay, and of course technology does some nice things, right? So I'm talking to you right now on a cell phone.
Yeah.
We connected by email to set up this conversation. You know, these things have their use. And I think many of us feel like, hey, my life is busy and noisy and distracting. I have all these gadgets around me just calling for my attention. Well, what about, you know, even for a few minutes a day or for an afternoon or a weekend, what if I step aside from these things? Again, this call from Jesus himself in the Gospels, who says, come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and I will give you rest. Just such a beautiful invitation from the Lord. And these different little pieces in there, come away with me. So it's not just hopping on a cruise ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's to come away with the Lord, and that he is the one who will give us rest. Again, this is not Catholic self-help. You know, I'm not just going to get a foot massage somewhere. Okay, that might have its place. But this is a special time of quiet with the Lord, in prayer, on retreat. Again, something we all crave, and yet in a strange way, we also fear it, right? That's why it's easy to get buried in our cell phones, because we have this kind of fear of that encounter with the Lord. But again, to let him draw us into that invitation. This is the Good Shepherd. This is Jesus with his Sacred Heart.
Mm-hmm.
He has something really beautiful to offer to each of us.
Right. And there's, I think there's a flip side to this, and you actually talk about it in the second exercise when you use the Star Trek Captain Kirk shields up analogy. Well played, by the way, Father.
Thank you.
So you do this to illustrate that we put these shields up around ourselves to isolate ourselves from the outside world sometimes. And, you know, that's not necessarily a healthy approach to life either. What can we do to reverse that tactic? And in light of our last question, find that balance between the two.
Again, I think we see Jesus in the Gospels setting the example. So, you know, I'm not recommending that I share my deepest secrets with every person I meet. You know, this is the kind of oversharing we see in some social media. You know, just because I work with someone, that may not mean that we're the best of friends.
Right.
But I do want to share those things with Jesus. I do want to cultivate some good relationships rooted in faith. For me, with Jesuit brothers and with some terrific lay friends I've gotten to know. You know, for people and families that we have, you know, really cultivated those connections with at least a couple people that we can talk to at a deeper level. But most importantly, with Jesus himself, again, to set aside a little bit of time in a holy hour. You know, with a rosary that is not just kind of on the run. Okay, so I actually do run and pray a rosary sometimes. I love that prayer. It's certainly good for me. But also, I need to sit down, to speak from the heart with Jesus and Mary, to listen to them speaking to my heart, you know, maybe using a little scripture, maybe using some kind of prayer book. Again, something we all crave and need.
Right, for sure. And those shields, sometimes we erect them to protect us from hurt. But can you, and you mentioned this in the book as well, can you speak to us a bit about the value in suffering?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. so true. Again, something that is all over the Bible and especially the Gospels. Okay, so St. Ignatius himself, a bit of his story. So he was from a wealthy family. He was in the Spanish army for a period of time. Certainly had a love of his nation, and certainly we salute all of our soldiers in the U.S. Who give their time and energy and even their lives to defend our country. You know, for St. Ignatius, also there was, you know, a little bit of an ulterior motive here. He, in a sense, was trying to pad his resume a bit so that he could kind of climb up the ladder of the Spanish political order. So anyhow, he's on a battlefield, gets hit by a cannonball in the knee. So, okay, everybody out there that's got knee problems, all right, this guy was hit by a cannonball in the knee. Mm-hmm. He falls to the ground in great agony, is carried by some friends back to his family's castle. Everybody expects he's going to die. And over a series of weeks and months, he slowly, amazingly, begins to recover. For him, this is really a time of reflecting on his life. In Spanish culture at this time, for young men, there was this great spirit of vainglory that he certainly fell into, you know, looking cool, doing daring deeds, you know, wanting to slay dragons and rescue damsels in distress. You know, I think this can be true for many of us. You know, a time of illness, maybe we're in the hospital, maybe we're just weakened a bit. Actually, it can open up a certain time and space to be with the Lord, where I sort of don't have some of my natural defenses, even I'm not so busy, perhaps. For Ignatius, he reflects on the Gospels, on the lives of the saints, really sees how they're living truly heroic lives that are not just kind of self-centered vainglory, but really doing powerful things for God and for others. So that for many of us, I think this suffering, now again, easy for me to say, right? Like this is something I preach about, and then when I'm suffering, I got to turn to some Jesuit buddies and say, wait, what's this thing about again? I know what suffering means for other people, but when it's me, it's a different, it's a different animal. But it can be united with Christ, can give us a sense of humility that, again, it's maybe not really fun in the moment, but even for people who've been through things, you know, they have a kind of earthy wisdom, you know. Imagine an older person who perhaps has been through the Great Depression and maybe World War II. You know, my my grandmother is a lady like this. You know, has been through a lot, but through grace, this has not brought her into bitterness, but rather a kind of just trust and hope in the Lord. Knowing that she's got to rely on God because the world around us is so unpredictable. So again, suffering, not an easy thing, but really can be sanctified in Christ.
And kind of hand in hand with that, you know, is the third exercise. And I think sometimes we tend to focus on the negative with an Eeyore cloud hanging over our head, it's always raining type attitude. Why is it essential we focus on our top 10 highs, which you talk about, rather than the lows, and cultivate the attitude of gratitude you briefly mentioned earlier?
Yeah, I'm also thinking of one of these lines in the scriptures of Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. So to store up for myself treasure in heaven. Certainly means by trying to live a life of virtue, a life rooted in the sacraments, and to see, you know, in a sense, okay, how has God kind of opened that treasure chest from heaven and poured it out for me even during my time on earth? Again, some of these holy moments that many of us can point to. The birth of a child, even something like maybe a great family vacation to the mountains of Denver or the beaches of Florida. Again, a wedding day, an ordination. To really let the Lord imprint these moments on my heart, to savor them. That's another word St. Ignatius really loves, to savor. You know, not just to kind of have a quick thought, oh yeah, that was nice. You know, this is why we have pictures that we put on our walls. Mm-hmm. This is why my grandma has pictures of her grandkids, that if you spend 5 minutes at her house, she's going to show you a picture of me and my sister and my little cousins. Mm-hmm. Because, in fact, we love to look over these things. You know, in a sense, I'm looking back in gratitude, and I'm filled with a deeper hope and trust in the moment. And then looking ahead, that kind of propels me forward with a newfound strength so that I can continue to trust in the Lord. So I think it is one of these kind of multifaceted gems in the faith.
For sure. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back to finish up our discussion of Abide in the Heart of Christ. We'll be right back.
Are you married? I'd like to suggest that you often return to the fond and true memory of your spouse when you first met and on your wedding day. Well, he or she is still that same lovable person. Perhaps life has presented many challenges you did not expect back then, but you have come through these together. And the providential fire of your tribulations and your love has forged you into the one body you are today, and that is a beautiful thing. Never let anyone or any inferior thing tear you and your spouse asunder. God is one with you. He is love. Your marriage is love, and love endures whatever comes. It does not come to an end. See 1 Corinthians 13. I'm Jim Littleton of FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. We've been spending the day with Father Joe Laramie, and we're discussing his book, Abide in the Heart of Christ, a 10-day retreat with St. Ignatius Loyola. And Father Joe, partway through the book, you talk about Ignatius's first principle and foundation. I think that's a pretty important part of the book. It's a pretty important thing that he wrote about. Can you tell us a bit about it and how it can help us?
Sure. That first principle and foundation. This is how St. Ignatius begins the spiritual exercises. In a sense, with no introduction, he just puts it out there and sort of says, okay, think about it, pray about it, chew on this. Maybe a bit like kind of spiritual beef jerky, just something to kind of chew on, kind of ruminate, connect it to different aspects of my life. Okay, in a nutshell, here it is. He says, we are created to praise, reverence, and serve God our Lord, and by this means to save our souls. Okay, he goes on from there and kind of unpacks that and applies it to different parts of our lives. One more time, that first line is, we are created to praise, reverence, and serve God our Lord, and by this means to save our souls. I also like to say, St. Ignatius and the Jesuits, we really do not have many new ideas. We're just really good at marketing. So St. Ignatius, yes, wrote these words, but he is drawing on Scripture and 2,000 years of tradition. The greatest commandment that we see in the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You should love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Jesus points to this as the first and greatest commandment. But again, to kind of chew on this, if you will. And Ignatius wants this to just kind of echo around in my mind and my heart, so that the little decisions and the big decisions of my life are really centered on this truth. So that when I'm thinking about, okay, what kind of job should I take? Maybe I'm looking for a new job. What sort of neighborhood should my family move into if we're looking at getting a new house? What kind of books should I read? How should I spend my free time? You know, almost a little bit like the antiphon that we hear in a psalm at Mass, you know, how it goes, right? So the lector reads a part, we all repeat it, then the lector says some more, then we all repeat it again. Well, I think Ignatius kind of has that in mind. We are created to praise, reverence, and serve God our Lord, and by this means to save our souls. And everything else is kind of secondary to that. So I can say more, but there's a little quick intro.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. In the fifth exercise of the book, and again, this is something else we just briefly touched on that I think deserves a little deeper discussion. You look at Ignatius's examen, and what is that, and why is it important?
Yes. For me, that's really the cornerstone of Ignatian spirituality. And I think is something unique. Again, Ignatius didn't really come up with the examen, but he did popularize it. I think he did apply it to more aspects of his life than previous generations. Ignatius tells the Jesuits, okay, I don't care how busy you guys are. Mass is absolutely central. And then right after Mass, this prayer is the most important prayer you're going to pray. So that you're looking back on your day. What am I grateful for? How has God been active? And to look at my own self. Okay, how have I responded to God's invitations? You know, and then I can rejoice in that. Maybe I taught a freshman theology class this morning, and it went pretty well. I feel good about that. I went for a nice run today in the fresh air. And to notice also, where have I fallen a little short? Maybe I was impatient with one of my brothers in community. You know, maybe a guy who's got some rough edges, but, you know, I threw him back a couple elbows in return. So that there's certainly gratitude in there, as well as appropriate sorrow or contrition, and a sense of looking ahead with the eyes of Christ, if you will, to say, okay, Lord, what's coming up in my day? You know, in a certain sense, this is uniquely suited to our world of Google calendars and an agenda, right? Because I can sort of pray through my day, even kind of pray through my calendar, if you will, trusting that the incarnate Lord is with me and calling me to respond.
Mm. I found it interesting how you said in the book that sometimes we see our daily lives and our spiritual lives as two separate entities. How can we bridge that gap and unite them? Because really, they shouldn't be separate.
Absolutely. You know, and this is not God's problem. You know, it's not like God is separating himself from us. But I think, especially in a kind of busy secular world, you know, more or less, society says, okay, yeah, if you want to do church, fine. That's an hour on a Sunday, maybe a little prayer here and there. But then the rest of the world is what matters, and that stuff's all separate. Well, I think the incarnate Christ really wants to bridge that gap. In a sense, wants to break through into all parts of my day so that he can be with me in the morning when I wake up. Maybe with a short prayer, with me on my way to work. Maybe I make a little time for prayer in the car, maybe listen to something that's going to be inspiring instead of just a bunch of chatter on talk radio. Then when I encounter people at work or at school, these aren't just kind of business transactions, but these are living people who have hearts and souls just like me. So yes, we need to do some work together, but also to remember that spirit of relationship that kind of abides throughout all these interactions. Yeah, for me, the examen just really helps kind of bridge these two worlds so that it's not my religion over here and the rest of my life over mm-hmm. there, but rather the incarnate Lord is with me in all of it.
Right, right. You know, at one point you discuss spiritual gifts and how we recognize those. And some people might go, well, I'm not a mystic. Well, you know, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want everybody to be mystics, you know? So, you know, we each have our own spiritual gifts, but how do we go about recognizing them?
That's right. I do list a number of these spiritual gifts in the book. And, you know, I think a lot of folks would be surprised that these are very practical gifts that are listed in the letters of St. Paul, in different parts of the New Testament. gifts like understanding, knowledge, charity. Okay, let's just take a couple of those right there. Mm-hmm. You know, understanding. I'm sure everybody has somebody that they talk to who just says, you know, this person understands me. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody a little older and wiser than us. You know, these gifts often enough come through prayer, maybe through some suffering, through experience. Maybe somebody who's worked in a job for a long time or lived in a city for a long time. So understanding. Charity. You know, if we say, boy, she just has such a great heart. You know, she's has such a big heart. Maybe she's small physically, but has a big heart that mm-hmm. we can just tell, you know? Sort of apply some of these gifts to ourselves and say, okay, Lord, show me some of the gifts you've given to me. I bet a lot of us have a kind of like partway knowledge of some of those gifts, but with a little prayer, a little reflection, again, even looking over some of these lists that are in the scriptures and that I have in the book, I think we can have a better self-knowledge and then also better respond to God's call for us as well.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, you also look at sins and weaknesses. And I think one important thing for us is to remember is, you know, we're not the sum of our weaknesses. It's not easy to acknowledge them, however. How can we look at our weaknesses and sins in an honest manner?
Sure. And I'll say it's no mistake that I first have us explore our gifts and then second, our weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, in a strange way, we need to start looking at our weaknesses, but from a place of strength. You know, I need to be first reminded of God's love for me, some of his gifts in my life, and then I can have the courage to stand there with Christ and take an honest look at some of my challenges, okay? Maybe just to first think about the commandments. Okay, what's one or two that I tend to have a hard time with? Maybe it's telling lies. Maybe it's keeping the Sabbath holy, okay? Just to grab a couple there. And then also some of these seven deadly sins. These are a list that is kind of developed through the centuries in the church. Sloth, which is not just laziness exactly, but something more like I'm not doing what I'm called to do. Mm-hmm. In fact, maybe I'm a super busy person, you know, put busy in quotes there. I'm running around rushing all the time, but in fact, I'm wasting a ton of time. And I'm throwing a lot of energy at things that are really not that important. And maybe I'm skipping out on my work responsibilities, my family, my faith, or something like envy, perhaps looking at what everybody else has and then thinking, gosh, I don't have much myself. Well, this is not from the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Again, this is kind of a consumer society gone amok in my heart.
For sure. Now, after people finish your 10-day retreat, where do you suggest they go from there? What are the next steps to take after this?
Sure. You know, something I recommend in the book first is just don't rush through this. If you do over 10 days, that's great. And then on day 11, I recommend you start looking back at some of your notes and some of the graces. Again, that spirit of savoring. You know, we want these to really sink deep into our hearts. That said, there are some beautiful retreat houses around the country, some of them run by Jesuits. There's a Jesuit website that lists all of our retreat houses around the U.S. There's many Catholic and even Christian retreat houses around the country. You know, I'd say just try to work this in as part of your yearly routine. You know, how about this? You go to the dentist at least once a year, right? Well, what about setting aside a day or a weekend each year to go on a retreat? Mm-hmm. That moment of refreshment with the Lord, receiving his invitation to come away with him for a little while and rest. You know, for other folks, it could be something like a Bible study program at a parish is a good option. But I would reflect on this. Let's say you're a mom with three young kids. That might not be possible right now, and that's okay. Maybe a few minutes of prayer each day is all the Lord requires of you. Okay, but let's say you're retired or Even if you're a college student, you may have some spare time that you can dive a little deeper into this time with the Lord.
Where can people find your book, Abide in the Heart of Christ, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Ignatius Loyola?
Sure. It's on Amazon. You can find it at the Ave Maria Press website. And my superior gave me permission to get my own fancy website.
Wow.
Which is owned and operated by the Jesuits, but it was designed by a college buddy who now designs websites for a living. It's just my name, so joelaramiesj.com. My middle name is Laramie, just like Laramie, Wyoming.
All right. Well, Father Joe, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule today and spending it with us. Any closing thoughts?
Just blessings to all of you. Take a moment in prayer today with the scriptures, with one of the saints, and trust that God has much in store for you.
All right. And with that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at catholicsingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.